good news, everyone!
Time for fun!
It's time for another episode of Blessing of Frost, a World of Warcraft podcast hosted by Magic and Kern.
Hi there, and welcome to episode 12 of Blessing of Frost. My name is Kern, and with me, as always, is Magic.
That's me. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay. A little tired this evening, but that's okay. Pushing forward for another great show.
Yes, I feel similarly, but we are dedicated, and that is why we are here tonight, recording on Monday night for a Tuesday morning release.
Yes.
Because we're Victory. Awesome like that.
Oh, yes. That's just what my parents told me when I was a child.
Let's see here. This week with us, we have our resident feral DPS druid, James Hendo, whom everyone calls Jay. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I think I'm the only one who's wide awake out of the group.
I think that is probably the case.
That is a distinct possibility. All right, and with that, I guess we'll move on over into Loremaster. Kern, anything exciting going on in your world this week?
Well, it's more exciting than the dog sitting was last week. I'll give you that. Let's see. I spent some time on the Shaman. I got tired of not being able to go to like Tolbrad and Herb and Mine there. And really wanted to see what that would be like. So my Shammy is my herbalist and my miner. So I decided to push and get the Shammy to 84. And I got the Shammy to 84. And then I was like, oh, sweet lord, I have 9 million XP to go.
Wow.
So I elected to heal a bunch of instances. Now, bear in mind, up until this point, I had done nothing but herb and mine my way up with just a handful of quests to open up all of the portals.
Okay.
So it was kind of nuts to, you know, actually try to queue up for a dungeon and stuff.
So did you pick up any decent gear along the way since you did so few quests? Or
while mining and herbing, no, I did not pick up any gear.
No drops off those nodes, huh?
No, sadly. No, like, world epics dropping out of my, you know, Twilight Jasmine.
Too bad.
So I made a quick stop at the AH, and I spent probably about 250 gold just to get myself some, 289 greens and such, which is a lot better than the 232 epics I was rocking, let me tell you.
Oh, well. They were purple, though.
They were purple. So I actually didn't do too badly. I healed every so often in Wrath on my Shammy as, well, obviously as Resto, and so it sort of came back to me pretty easily. Probably the biggest issue was I kept trying to judge mobs, which is what I do on Madrana,
right.
and that was causing an issue, and I did forget to drop my totems a few times, and at one point someone in a group called for heroism, and I completely forgot that I had it. You know, typical...
Wow.
Typical stuff like that. But, you know, I got through Vortex Pinnacle, Stone Core. I did a lot of Vortex Pinnacle and Stone Core. And I got a bunch of drops, both for my enhancements at my Resto set, which is really nice. And then, I got to 85, and I just kept going, actually. I did a bunch of dungeons, regular dungeons. And then, lo and behold, I actually look, and my eye level is 329.
Goodness.
I was like,
that's shot up pretty quickly.
Yeah, it didn't take very long at all. And so I'm like, well, hey, what's the worst that can happen? They kick me from the group, so I queue up for a heroic. And my random heroic is Throne of the Tides.
Yay, the place you don't even discover yet, right?
Well, no, I had discovered it, but I looked at it, and I'm like, now, hang on a second here. I don't think I've ever actually done Heroic Throne of the Tides before on any tune. And that would be correct. I haven't done on Madrana, hadn't done on Kern, so I walk into the instance on my Shaman never having done the Heroic version. And I'm like, well, how hard can this be? There's the boss commander, Ulthok, I think his name is.
He's the worst. My pugs always wipe on that, especially when I was healing tanks. I don't understand what it is with that ability, or that, you know, how hard is it to dodge?
Yeah,
that dungeon is just rough.
It's not easy, but I will definitely agree with that. So we're on Ulthok, and there's this stuff that's on the ground, and it keeps growing, and I'm like, what the F is this? I've never seen this before in my life. And I'm like, okay, well, clearly this is the crap that we're not supposed to stand in. So I somehow, I got like picked up and squeezed by the guy, which I remember from my time on beta and stuff. I'm like, okay, that's not so bad. But he throws me on the other side of the crap. And I'm like, what do I do? So I ghost wolf it across the crap, go stand on top of the tank, and healing, healing, healing. And then I get picked up and squeezed again, and he throws me back across the crap, and there's, like, no way I can make it across this time. And so I try valiantly, and I use, like, Spirit Walker's grace and everything, so I'm casting as I'm running, and then I die. And then I onk, and then I run die. Through. No, and then I pop hero, and then I die.
Nice. At least you got the hero.
Yeah, I figured that the best way, the best chance of success included me, like, rezzing and popping hero, and so we did, and the tank, who was a druid, popped me up afterwards. Like, didn't battle res, but whatever. I don't really expect tanks to battle res me.
You actually had a druid tank? In a five-man?
Yeah. Yep, I did, and he was pretty decent. I mean, like, it was a little hairy at times, like, no pun intended, but yeah, wow. It was okay.
They're just so rare.
Yeah, yeah. It was an interesting group. We had me, a Rep Pally, the Feral Druid tank, a DK, and like a mage. And the mage was an idiot.
Sigh.
I know. It just breaks my heart. So,
That's totally different. Whenever I have issues, whenever I was healing Ulthok on the priest, people get hit by Dark Fissure constantly and just die. And that happens, like, four or five times in a row where the tank is just getting killed by something that's so easily avoidable.
Yeah, it's thankfully that didn't happen. Like, I remembered the mechanic, and I'm like, oh, dear, we are in trouble. But nobody got hit by it, and I was pretty pleased with that. And I'm like, way to go, guys. I tell you what, the last dude was not easy with all those things running around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was painful. But, I mean, we got through it, and it was my first heroic, and I got it done. And I'm looking forward to going in there on my Pally at some point and kicking some ass, because at least I know I will be able to.
Exactly. Actually, I don't think I've been to Grim Batol yet at all, either.
Funny you should mention. That was my second heroic.
Oh, really?
I'm like, are you kidding me? Really? Really? I cannot possibly be geared for this. So we go in, and the first boss is not a problem. The second boss is not a problem once I remembered to not panic. Because I'm like, oh god, I don't have Aura Mastery. I can't, like, resist all that fire. Wait, I have Healing Rain! That worked out nicely.
I guess there's a lot of fire, though. Yeah, like you said, I have no idea.
Well, the Forge Master Throngus is the second boss, and he's got, he basically equips weapons. And there's one where he equips two swords, and one where he equips a mace, and one where he equips a shield. And the shield breathes fire or something like that. So you need to stand, like, behind him constantly. But there's always people who get, like, you know, hit by the fire because they're just a little bit out of the way or whatever.
Yeah.
So Healing Rain, yay!
Good stuff.
So yeah, I had a decent time playing around with the Shami this week, and I did a couple of heroics on Kern. Got to stretch my hunter muscles a little bit, and apart from that, I just got some raiding done. Really, that's pretty much the size of my week.
Good times.
Still much more exciting than dog sitting.
There you go.
How about you, Jay?
Well, since you didn't mention it, we killed Neff this week. Which is, like, the top of my list of to-dos in Cataclysm. So I am extremely excited about that part.
Yeah.
Other than that, I started leveling my rogue. I have the druid at 85, and then I have the paladin at 85. One DPS, one tank. And then I have my daughter who plays. She's playing a feral druid as well. And she finally hit 80, 81, and I told her that I would level my rogue with her. So I've started doing that, and we're 83, just hit 83, and we opened up Oldham, We're going to go back and finish off Deep Home so that she gets her reps. I don't really worry about it too much. I know I can just blow through dungeons at a later point, but I want to teach her how to do the things properly. She is only 10, but she picks up the game. She's just a video game freak. So she loves the game, and it's fun to actually get to do something with her, even though she's at home and I'm at my house. So that's been really exciting for me as well. Other than that, I did a little bit of archaeology leveling, finally up to 225.
That is still higher than me, although it's close.
But yeah, that's about it. Just kind of taking it easy and, just really kind of waiting for the new stuff to come out, reading up, keeping up to date. Changing a couple glyphs around to maximize DPS, and like I said, we killed Neff, so.
So your week was a good one, then.
Yes, it was.
I like that you're teaching your daughter about the rep stuff. That's something that I find so many players just don't pay attention to, and I'm really glad that someone who's, you know, detail oriented the way that you are, you're like sort of passing that along to your kid. Good stuff. I approve.
I kept telling her to, like, she got a 2 shat, and she was like, there's these 2 people here, they're telling me I have to choose between Skriars and Aldor.
Oh,
I was
my
like,
goodness.
Just pick one, it doesn't really matter right now. Well, which one are you? Well, I went with Aldor, but I didn't really push it until way later when I was going back for achievements. And she's like, well, what's it matter? And I'm like, right now, nothing, because Cataclysm is out and you don't need that rep. And so then she gets to Wrath and she's like, well, I've got this rep, do I need to worry? No, you don't really gotta worry about that right now either. So that's kind of why I went back. I was like, okay, now you have to worry about reps, so you really got to pay attention to this, and you got a quest here, and you got to do that. Well, why? And so I took her out to the quartermaster and showed her this is why. And when we got to Oldham and got the quartermaster open, that was the first thing I did, is took her over there and said, you see that head enchant? That is why you need this rep.
Nice. Well done. If only everybody had a Jay to like teach them exactly what reps to worry about.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes it's kind of hard to discern exactly what you need, you know, just looking around online.
You know what's interesting? The helm enchants, the new ones, are BOA. I didn't realize that.
But you still have to have, or at least last I checked, your tune still has to have the required rep in order to use it.
Oh, you might have just ruined my day.
That was before the last 2 patches, hotfixes, whatever you want to call them, 4.06, before that. I don't know if it's still the case, but I know that when my Pally was coming up, I tried to just buy them with Jay and send them over to my Pally, and he could not use them because he did not have the required rep.
Oh, God. I'm seeing several Arcanums of Hyjal, for example, and I'm seeing that one of them does require Revered with Hyjal. Oh, that would suck.
Huh.
Yeah. So I'll have to double check on that. But one thing that is interesting to note is that right now the Therizane enchants are definitely BOP. They are not BOA the way Hodir was.
Interesting.
Anywho,
I think that'll get changed at some point.
Oh, for sure. And it'll probably happen right after I've made the grind, like for the third time or something.
With
so.
That too.
Yes.
Nice.
How about you, Madge? How was your week?
Sadly, not too overly exciting either. Played on the mage while raiding and so forth, and I got some decent gear last Tuesday. It was pretty awesome. I got my tier shoulders and the power generator hood, so some sweet gearing up going on. And now just a set of gloves away from a 4-set piece bonus of 10% cast speed on Fireball. Seems ridiculous.
Is it really as good as it sounds?
I can't imagine 10% is any worse than it sounds.
That's what, that's like 0.25 seconds off or something? Or
Yeah, right around there. I mean, it depends on I think it sort of depends a little bit on haste at that point, but I'm not really sure. I'll have to get the gloves and then play around and see what it looks like. Excited. It should be good times.
Very cool.
Yes, and then actually today I was running Zul'Farak on my Paladin, which I have not done in forever. Not quite the Paladin, but just been in Zul'Farak. And nobody had the hammer to summon Gazrilla. No one.
That's tragic.
I cannot believe that you're still required to have it.
I think I've got the hammer on three different tunes.
But can you imagine getting it anymore? Like, who quests in general? I cannot believe that they still require the hammer to summon Gazrilla. It seems totally, you know, I don't know. I want to say unnecessary, but I guess it kind of forces you to go quest out there to get it. But at the same time, I'd say 75% to 80% of people are going to have no idea and not be able to summon the last boss, and that seems unfortunate.
I've never had to have the hammer.
You've never had someone else has had it, or
no? I can go in there by myself. I ran several tunes of my own through there because, and my daughter, and I've never had the hammer. I just walk up and click on the gong, and he comes up.
Maybe you don't. You know, I didn't even go over there. The people in my group were saying that you needed it still. I didn't even ask.
That's a troll badge.
Yes. Well, that's all right. To be honest, they were pretty dumb anyway, so I was happier to be out of the group.
Does that mean that you didn't get your electrified scale?
That is, well, actually, I joined after the first or second boss, so it didn't really make a difference.
Oh, because you didn't get the quest.
Yeah, I didn't get any of the quests, so that's the other reason I didn't really push it. Because, yeah, like you said, I was kind of wondering. It seemed really unnecessary, and I didn't ever remember recently. Well, again, I hadn't run in so long that I just kind of took their word for it. But, I mean, they didn't even go to the last boss as well because they believed it. I don't know, just a whole bunch of misinformed people, myself included. All right, we'll take
Yay!
It.
Yay!
Good stuff. Yeah, that's about it. Nothing overly exciting either. Still trying to get the Paladin out of the dead zone of level 46. It'll happen. Yes, hopefully it'll happen.
One day, it will.
Yes.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Alright, so that'll bring us into Hot Fix, and barring talking about the PTRs, there's not a whole lot going on in terms of Hot Fixes. What was very interesting this week was the revelation that the Firelands raid will not be in 4.1. 4.1 will consist solely of Zul'Aman and Zul'Garub and all of that good stuff. Which is interesting. They said that they wanted to have more patches that had less content, but ultimately would have, you know, just more releases of more new stuff. Which is a definite change from how they've been doing things, at least in Wrath.
Yeah,
and we'll talk more about that in general chat. But that's good news for anyone who's still getting through the content. Not to worry. The Firelands raid will not be out soon.
Still have time.
Lots of time to get through those normal modes and those heroic modes, for sure. And I guess we'll go into slash raid now. Where we talk about our raid week. As Jay mentioned earlier, we got Neff down.
Yay.
Wow.
Sweet.
Yeah.
It was a really horrifying fight.
It was rough. We did it was our 63rd pull that was successful. We
Epic.
Did 13 on that night alone. We were pretty pleased with ourselves, I think. It was a rough start to the night, but then we started getting to phase 3 consistently and deep into phase 3 consistently. We had a 12% wipe, and I'm like, oh, we are totally going to get this tonight.
Yeah. And so, indeed we did.
Yeah. And I mean, like, everybody chipped in. Everyone pulled their weight. Everyone did what they were supposed to do. Like, Magic, I know you and Mabrium were tossing out Rings of Frost to help out with the ads. Our ad tank Dayden was running around like a possessed man, like a lunatic, it seemed like. Everything was going beautifully.
Yeah, that everything really just came together on that attempt, obviously. And it felt like it, especially, was it the attempt right before that, or maybe two before that, where it went almost the same? We just had to flip sides on post phase two, and it just went pretty swimmingly.
Yeah, it really did. And, you know, as is typical of many guilds' first kills, the ad tank died at 5%. And then our sort of backup ad tank, my brother Fog, he tried to pick him up and then he died. And then they all came looking at me. And so I was the one who bore the brunt of their anger while the rest of the healers who were still alive got through it all.
That was kind of amusing.
Oh, yeah, I died right at the end. I completely lagged out. I almost missed the actual achievement.
Ooh, but, that would have sucked.
Yeah, that was interesting. And something else that we did this week, which was neat, we'd done it previously on 10-man, but we got the 25-man version of Parasite Evening on Magma.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
And I understand that there's another way to do this, where you have like someone kiting all of the, you know, parasites and stuff, while everybody else stands in melee range. You have that one person at range who then kites them around the entire encounter. Yeah, we don't do it that way. We have, you know, a melee group, we have a range group, and the range group moves back and forth. And, you know, it's really just a matter of executing that fight properly in order to get the achievement. And lo and behold, we did it properly on I guess it was Tuesday night, after one-shotting Cho'Gall, was it?
I believe we did one-shot Cho'Gall this week.
Yeah, so we were clearly on a roll. I wasn't actually even in the raid for Magma. I decided to step out and let other people in, and so they all got the achieve. And so, congrats to you guys on that. That's one achieve down and several to go. Have you looked at these things? Seriously. No. Yeah, it's horrifying. I don't even know.
Are they just terrible?
Yes. We also have the Halifax one, though, which we got last 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I was there, unfortunately.
But I know that
two drinks in 10 seconds?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yes. I was there for that.
We definitely got that. I don't know if it was last week or if it was the week before.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. It's kind of fun when they happen totally by accident or whatnot.
Oh, yeah, that was not by design. It just occurred.
Yeah. And we'll move on over to our guild tab, where we ask our guest of the evening a few questions about their tune and other in-game thing. So let's kick it off. Tell us a little bit about James Hendo, the tune.
Well, he is my second go-round at this game. I started playing back in vanilla. I started a hunter and never got past level 24 before I went back to my tried and true Ultima Online and EverQuest. And I walked away from WoW. And then many moons later, I was reintroduced to the game by a coworker at the lovely restaurant that I worked at with the lovely women in orange shorts that I won't actually name here.
Oh, God.
But no, he got me playing. He had a paladin and said, hey, you know, you should play this game. And sat down, looked at it, played his paladin for a little bit, and said, you know what? I think I'm going to play. And so I started a tune, and I started a hunter again. And I found out you couldn't get a pet until level 10. And I was like, that's not fair. So I quickly deleted the hunter and started asking questions. You know, what's this tune do? What does that tune do? What does this tune do? And he basically said, you know, one of these is probably something that's really easy. And he pointed out a paladin as being one of the easy ones to level. And I was like, yeah, but I want something different than what you've got. And I was like, what about this druid? They can do all the same things. And he was like, well, leveling would be really easy. You can level as feral. He's like, but when you get to level cap, all anybody's going to want you to do is heal. I was like, well, what did the other ones do? And so he tells me that, you know, the kitty DPS, you get to use claws and tear things up. The bear form, you're a tank, and tree form, you're a healer, crit chicken, blah, blah, blah. And long story short, he tells me that kitty DPS is really hard and I probably shouldn't do it because it's really hard. That settled it for me right then and there. I knew exactly what I wanted to do solely to prove a point. I can do it. I'm going to do the hardest thing in this game, according to what he was telling me. I wanted to do it. The priority system, all of it. I didn't care. I was going to do as much research as I had to do to get it done. And so I set out on my journey. I was really disappointed that I didn't get to start the game as a cat, because you have to, at the time, you had to wait until you were level 20 to get your kitty form.
So that was so painful.
I fought my way to level 20, throwing out my spells and my entangled roots and all that good stuff, and got to like level 34-ish or so, and met what is still to this day my best friend in-game, a hunter, and we leveled from then on all the way up to, at the time, level cap of 80, raided together, played together, enjoyed our time together. We then split ways, and I've been a raiding feral kitty the entire time. I've never looked back. I've changed off specs quite often, but Jay has been a dark blue or black, whatever color you want to call that, kitty from day one, and he will never be anything different. He will never have horns. He will never have tusks. He is a night elf druid, and he will stay that until the day I walk away from this game.
For the Alliance.
Yes.
It's nice to be that attached to, like, you know, your main tune or the tune you enjoy playing the most. You know, some people are plagued with not knowing what tune they want to main at any given time, but yeah, that's kind of awesome to not have that issue.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy my other tunes, but I mean, obviously, like, if you look at my other tunes, they're names, and then you look at Jay, there's a reason he's got that name, and, you know, that's me, and my other tunes are my alts, and it's just the way it is. It's hard. It's something you can't explain to people. And I get people who ask me all the time, well, why don't you play this tune? Or why don't you do that? Well, I can't. You don't understand.
Right. That's, yeah. It's, I'm attached to my mage at this point just because, again, it's got the name. While it's not, you know, my name, it's the name that I've used for so many other online games at this point that it's the most, I associate it with myself the most often.
Yeah, it's sort of why I, like, even though I play Madrana, like, I still sort of insist that the people, at least in guild, call me Kern, because that's really my in-game identity, and sort of out-of-game identity if you count my blog and obviously this podcast and everything. So I totally understand being really attached to, you know, a tune and a persona and all that, and I miss playing Kern.
All right, well, Jay, what would you say your favorite memory in WoW is?
Oh, I knew this was going to come. Well, I mean, obviously, you know, everybody has their little moments where they've done this achievement or that achievement. But I would have to say my personal favorite memory, believe it or not, actually does not involve Kitty DPS. I was in my 60s, level 60s, and as I said, I have changed my off spec several times. I started out, when I first got dual spec, going heals. I wanted to be a tree. I wanted to see what the other viewpoint of the fight was. So I spec'd Resto, and we had some friends. You know, DK tank, the hunter that I ran with, a rogue, you know, some other people in our guild at the time. And we all start running dungeons. I literally quested myself or dungeoned myself from 60 to 70 and as a tree. And we go into slave pens and we're going through fine, no problem. Let's see, hunter, DK, mage, and a rogue, and myself. And we're going through. We get to Minu the Betrayer, the shaman, I believe it's the second boss in the dungeon.
I think so.
He drops totems, obviously. He's a shaman.
Oh, God. The totems.
And one of the totems heals him. And we're in this fight, and we had been on vent, but I had wanted to listen to music, so I had shut vent off. I don't really think that I told anyone about it, though. So we're in the fight. The rogue dies. And for some reason, like, the boss isn't losing any health. And then the mage dies. And I'm like, okay, I'm running out of mana. I'm like, literally, I'm empty. I'm doing everything I possibly can just to keep the tank alive. And it finally dawns on me that one of the totems is keeping the boss alive. So I run up with my tree branches and begin smacking the totems one at a time to get rid of them. In the process, obviously, I lose the hunter, so it's just me and the tank.
Obviously.
I literally healed through that fight long enough to get Innervate back up twice.
Oh, man.
And I B-rezzed the rogue once and typed in party chat, just kill the totems. And so he's running around killing the totems. I'm healing the tank and healing him. Finally, it felt like the fight went on for hours. But finally, we down the boss. I jump back on vent with everybody. And they're like, where have you been? We're yelling at you to kill it. I'm like, I've been listening to music. You guys have no idea what I was going through over here. That is the one thing the one fight I will remember. I'll be 90 years old, 190 years old on my deathbed, and somebody will say, do you remember that time? And what? Yes, I remember. Me too, the betrayer.
Oh, man.
I think everybody has an epic story about those damn totems, whether it's the fire one blowing everyone up or the healing one keeping him alive, or wait, I'm sure everyone has an epic story, but that is the most epic one I've personally heard.
Definitely. All right. Well, why did you happen to join Apotheosis?
See, this one's easy. And Kern, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that I may actually be the first recruit of the new Apotheosis.
I believe you are correct.
I was in a fairly progressed guild on Eldrathalos that went 9 of 12, 25 man hard modes. We gave shots at Putricide, gave shots at Send, but never actually downed either one. Obviously never downed Lich King either. But it was one of those guilds that I like to call a bash you in the face guild. Their DPS was so stellar that nothing else mattered. But then you run into fights where that just doesn't cut it. I believe it was Stony Baby from last week said it perfectly. Said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
You can only do so much DPS before everybody else in the raid has to step up and do something.
Exactly.
That's kind of how we were. Well, the guild leadership decided they were going to step down and go Horde and only do 10 mans. Well, as I already said, I'm not having tusks and I'm not having horns. So I was left on the Alliance side with no guild. And I wasn't upset about it. You know, they were up front, but I needed to find something. So I started looking on the forums and I was seriously about to server transfer. My old guild prior to that one wasn't really recruiting and kind of things just weren't right to go back there. I still have good friends there, but I just didn't want to go back. Sure enough, I get on the forums and I see this guild that was a raiding slash casual, not casual guild in BC, and they've got a recruitment video. So I watched the recruitment video, and I think I was about halfway through that video and I decided that I was apping to Apotheosis. And obviously here I am.
Wow, that's that I do recall you being a very early new member for us. And I do remember that the recruitment video, embarrassingly enough, had a lot to do with that. So I'm glad that my efforts actually brought in somebody.
You were prepared.
We were. It was good times. Oh, geez.
Awesome.
That's slightly embarrassing, but I definitely need to make a new recruitment video for Heroic Modes.
I was saying, we have a
stuff.
Recruitment mode video. Go see the first one, because it's embarrassing to Kern now, which means you have to see it.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll link it in the show notes.
Yes, we will.
Jackass.
It's fairly epic. I was impressed, so that should say something.
Oh, God.
Good.
I haven't seen it in months, so
Yeah, me either.
Alrighty, what else do you like to do in game aside from reading?
Well, I think it was Darla who said it best in her interview. There's a difference between what I like to do and what I actually get done. I am a self-professed achievement whore. The problem is I only have 8,100 achievement points, so obviously I haven't done quite as much achieving as I would really like to do. I end up spending a lot of time helping friends or just goofing off or piddling around leveling my archaeology or something like that. But what I really like to do first and foremost is raid. That is by far the most fun thing in this game for me, is killing things. Other than that, I make it a point to make sure that I have killed every boss in the game on every tune that I have. And that goes along with the achievements. I think that's really where the achievement thing first got started, was that was an achievement for me. And then I started noticing, hey, you get little points for this. So I started going after all those points. I dabble in PvP a little bit here and there, mostly on my rogue. I'm not very good at feral PvP at all, even before the most recent setbacks to it. But yeah, I would say that just hanging out with friends really is what I actually end up doing, and helping other people. Especially if I see a feral druid who's trying to get the right thing done, I'll definitely throw them a little bit of knowledge and say, hey, you know what? You don't need that stat, by the way. You should use this, or you should do that. Go run this dungeon and get this piece of gear.
That's kind of cool. I try not to inspect and such other people of my class, because I tend to get really angry.
I cannot help myself. If I see a druid in cat form, mouse over, click, pow, inspect. I can't help myself. But more what I end up doing is, if I'm at the training dummy, beating on the training dummy, I have it set so that I can see other people's DPS in the area. And if I see a feral druid there beating on the training dummy, trying to work out their rotation, I'll kind of click on their name and see how they're doing, and then I'll look at their gear and I'll look at their spec. And my favorite one is kitty druids with infecting wounds, and I'm like, you know, if you take those 2 points out of there and you put them over here.
Hang on, infecting wounds, I'm not a druid like master or anything, but that's the equivalent of the thunderclap and judgments of the just debuff, right?
Yes. A lot of 10-man guilds with DK main tanks will have another class bring that buff. So I tend to ask, are you in a 10-man guild? You run with a DK main tank? Okay, and then I won't say anything. Or I'll ask if they have a hunter, because a hunter with a fox pet actually loses less DPS by having the fox out than a feral kitty would by having the infected wounds talent.
Gotcha.
So sure. It just little things like that. But mostly it's, you know, you don't need hit and expertise. You can change that glove enchant, and you'll probably eke out about 15 more DPS just from that.
Well, that leads us nicely into our quirky question. I don't really know if this is something specific to you, but maybe you can help me out. Something I've noticed about feral druids in general, every feral druid that I've witnessed seems to be completely and I don't really want to use the word obsessed, but shall we say super interested in all forms of theory craft? Like, is there a reason why, or is it just like that type of person is more likely to roll a feral druid? Or yeah, maybe you can shed some light on the subject.
I can't really speak for all of the feral community, but I kind of alluded to it earlier. When I started playing a feral druid, it was quote-unquote told to me that's the hardest rotation in the game. It's almost impossible is short version of what I was told. You have to be on it in order to get the job done. And so, yeah, I would say it probably does attract that kind of person. Anytime you have a priority list rather than a rotation, it's like, okay, now I've got to do this, and I've got to weave this in, and do I have enough time to do that, and do I have enough time to do this? So you're constantly thinking about what you're doing along with all the mechanics of the fight that you're in. And you've got to watch timers, and you've got to look at this, and you've got to look at that number over there, and then you got to run over here and kill this guy and smack that guy and whatever. So I think it does kind of just lend itself as a spec to theory crafting just in general, because you're constantly thinking anyway.
Yeah, and you're not just thinking about your next button, you're thinking about your next like three or four buttons, right?
Usually about six or seven. the Wrath style was more six or seven. With the more recent extensions, they've actually made our rotation way easier. And believe me, it is way easier now than it ever has been since I started playing. And I'm coming up on my 2-year anniversary, so.
Bleeds and dots are kind of foreign to me. I've always been someone who does like direct damage. Like I've never played a warlock. I've never played Kitty really. I think I tried once on my druid to be Kitty in bear gear, and bad bear gear at that, in Wrath for like one dungeon, and then I think it was Magic and Fog or one of them who just laughed at me because it was so bad.
A little bit.
Now it's actually a lot easier to accomplish that goal because the stats are exactly the same, pretty much, that you want on the gear. There's a couple of minor differences. Definitely reforging is going to be different, but it's all agility and weapon DPS. Pow, pow, pow. So that's what you want. Stack it, put it on, get it. That's what you want. So it's definitely viable now if you can get the gear set to, you know, gear for your bear and just flip into cat form and just DPS. Obviously, it's not going to be optimal, but it's a lot more able now than it was in the past.
Very cool. And we'll move into general chat. This week's topic is patch updates. As we mentioned earlier, Blizzard announced that they'd be going to a format of more patches that would be smaller. So 4.1 is coming out without the Firelands raid. Everyone thought that 4.1 meant Firelands, but apparently the Firelands weren't yet ready, but they didn't want to let that hold back, Zul'Aman and Zul'Garub and all the other goodies coming in 4.1. So the Firelands will be coming out in 4.2. Basically, this is a huge shift from the way Blizzard did things back in Wrath. In Wrath, it was mega patch after mega patch. It was 3.1 was Ulduar, 3.2 was the tournament and the Colosseum, and 3.3, of course, was Ice Crown Citadel. We didn't really have another major content patch until 4.0, unless you count 3.35, which was, of course, Ruby Sanctum. Yeah, so they basically really only had, 3.1, 3.2, 3.3, and 3.35, or what have you, for major content updates. And even then, Ruby Sanctum was not a major content update. This is a huge difference, compared to the way they did things in vanilla. In vanilla, it seemed like every month or so there was a whole new class under review. And in fact, that's basically what they did back in the day. They basically took the time to investigate issues with one class And then they would completely revamp that class. And then the next month or two later, it would be a whole other class. So in like 1.7, I think it was, you had the Druid talent review. And then in 1.9, you had the Paladin talent review. So we seem to be going back to that sort of patch update, although probably less oriented on just one class at a time, and just have more content available to us more frequently.
Should be interesting. I don't know, I kind of like that more than the big ones. I feel like waiting is kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Stole the words right out of my mouth. I definitely think that the smaller patches with more often is going to be more beneficial.
I'm kind of on the fence. On the one hand, I know that patch day, regardless of the size of the patch, generally means that the servers are screwed. So, given that we raid on Tuesdays, that's like a lost raid night right there. I don't like how they tend to roll that out on a Tuesday and how things are all up in the air until, you know, Wednesday or Thursday. That said, I do like the idea that the patches will be smaller. So maybe if they're smaller, then things won't break so frequently. That would definitely be nice.
That would make sense, just because with a lot of the previous ones, such, or a lot of the older ones, such broad sweeping changes where you're editing so many different aspects of the game is more likely to break X number of things. So the larger the patch, the more likely you are to hit something that is being edited by a third party mods.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I also think that it might get people onto the PTRs more. I mean, it's not that the PTRs generally have a complete lack of interest, because on some PTRs I've been on, you can't do anything because there's just so many people there. But I think it might encourage people to test out more content than just the raid content, even if there aren't pre-mades available and the like. It might make for just a better quality control process. I mean, whether we like it or not, we are Blizzard's quality control when it comes to patches.
Right.
And I think that the more people that are on the PTRs, the better. Having said that, I'm not on the current PTR. I don't have time. But I hope that everyone else out there is out there and looking for bugs. Please do.
Reporting them. You're a big bug report person.
Oh my gosh. I think that that's probably why I got selected to be in the Wrath beta, because I'm constantly reporting bugs, and it drives me crazy. Like, if I find a bug, I will report it. I will stop everything I'm doing. Like, in a dungeon, on the beta, or in a PTR, I will actually stop what I'm doing, say, hold on, I'm reporting this bug. And I will sit there and I will fill out the bug report, like, to completion. I have even reported bugs about the bug report tool.
Well, nice. Something to be said about that, I guess.
Yeah, that I'm a dork with no life.
That's a distinct possibility. I was looking over some of those old patches, and they are enormous.
Like, they are.
Just compared to what we're looking at nowadays, it's back in vanilla and even in BC, the things that were included when they did a patch were easily four or five major areas of the game. The first one that came to my mind was 1.7, which introduced ZG the first time when it was a 20-man raid. And that was sort of the big deal when it came out. And that's kind of the one that stuck in my memory because I remember being so engrossed in it. And I went back and looked, and it also included the introduction of Wrathy Basin, the introduction of the Stranglethorn Fishing Extravaganza. It began the Battleground Holidays. It added the, what is it called? The thing where you can look at an item on your tune by control clicking on it.
Oh, the dressing room.
The dressing room, yes. So, and the fun one, I saw the debuff limit had been increased to 16 from 8. That's unfortunate.
I find that really amusing.
Yeah. So, I guess I didn't really think about it at the time because I was so focused on one, maybe two areas of any given patch, but that's huge. That is some very, all parts of the game that still come into play.
Yeah, when I was looking back at the old patch notes, the first one that I really distinctly remember is 1.9, which is the Gates of Ankaraj world event. I remember playing before that and, you know, giving the Alliance Purple Lotus and what have you. Like, I would find it and I would donate it to the cause. I didn't really know what it was for, but it felt really neat to be part of this big effort. I was like level 40 at the time. It was really amusing. Right. But like looking through 1.9, which happened shortly after I started playing, you've got obviously the gong ring and everything, but linked auction houses. I mean, it was that long ago that you only had the one auction house in Ironforge and I guess in Orgrimmar, and you had, and then you had the one, well, the couple of different unlinked auction houses in Winterspring, I guess, and in Gadget. And then obviously in 1.9, like, boom, all of a sudden you now have auction houses in all the Alliance and Horde capitals, and they're all linked. And that was like, wow, because I was a Night Elf, and I made the journey, the dangerous journey, over through the wetlands at like level 18 or something ridiculously low, and made my way by death, several deaths, to Ironforge to get to the auction house. I remember this so clearly. And so 1.9 made that sort of a moot point.
And, yeah, that would be that.
That was also the one that had the Paladin talent review, which is hilarious. Like, I'm reading this, new 15-minute raid versions of blessings and the ability to bless all members of a certain class with one click. I just... shocking that it was that long ago and that was like a new thing. Like, I my hat is off to those paladins who came before me who had to deal with single 5-minute blessings on everybody in the raid. Like, that's just insane.
That's like a half a pull anymore.
Yeah.
So it's the bigger the patch, the longer it has to sit, you know, in the PTRs, because there's so many bugs in such a large patch that you need to make sure they're all getting worked out, I guess. So that'd be one more reason that the smaller patches are better for both us and them, because it takes a lot less work on their side to make sure it's all ready and up to snuff before it gets shipped out.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing when you're dealing with, you know, 12 million customers, is to make sure that your game is relatively stable, unlike that time on the Wrath beta where Unholy Blight or whatever it is just like drop the server instantly for like 30 hours. It was great.
Great in big air quotes.
But like, having said that, I kind of hope that they'll be focused in their patches. Like, if you look back at the old 1.0 patches, like you said, they're immense, they're ginormous, and they're very spread out in terms of content and stuff. I mean, auction houses and, you know, the raid calendar system has been revamped, and the pallies were revamped, and AQ came out all in the same patch. So it's sort of like very diverse, very spread out. I'm kind of hoping that we'll see a more focused bunch of releases, like 4.1 is the Troll Dungeons, and then 4.2 is Firelands, and then 4.3 is God knows what. So, like, I'm personally hoping that it's all going to be, like, smaller chunks of content that we can all fully explore. I mean, what was the one from BC where Sunwell came out? I mean, you had the raid instance, and you had the 5-man, so there was something for everybody there. I'd kind of like to see that sort of thing moving forward.
Gotcha.
I definitely liked going back and reading. I obviously didn't take part in it, but what they did with Sunwell was you had to basically build the Isle of Qaldanis first. And from, I don't know where I read this, but I believe there's going to be something similar with ZG and ZA.
Not sure if it's ZG and ZA. I think it might be in Hyjal for Firelands.
Maybe. It's just something to do with phasing. I know that the ZA and ZG are going to phase, doing the quests up to them so that you can actually enter the dungeon. But again, I cannot remember where I read this. I'm trying to dig around for it right now, but just the whole epicness of the, you know, you had to work for the opening of Sunwell in order to even get inside. You had to band together. And since that's kind of what Cataclysm is about, I'm kind of hoping they do something like that again.
I gotta say, it sucked. Like, really? I mean, the implementation of it could have been done a lot better. I played on Pradmoor for a bit, and my real life friend, the Rusted Druid, plays there. And I had an alt over there at 70. And Proudmoor is one of the most active servers. It's one of the oldest servers, and it's one that is active 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because it's got a huge Australian population. So you've got all of these people in North America, and then all of these people in Australia. So there's never a dull time on the server. You can find a pug for anything at any hour of the day, or at least you could back in Wrath. And so what they did in Burning Crusade is, like, they were constantly doing these dailies all around the clock, and they were the first worldwide server to open up the island and everything, or the Sunwell, or whatever it was that you actually had to accomplish. They were the first to do it, and Elder Thalas lagged way behind.
Quite so far.
And what really annoyed me, and I'm still kind of annoyed about this, is in order to open up the different vendors on the island, you had to do different dailies. So, but like, once you got to a certain point, like, if it didn't benefit you at all, like, if you weren't a jewel crafter, you didn't have to, you know, do the dailies to open up the jewel crafting vendor if you didn't want to. Like, your participation would basically not help you out too much. So there was this one guy in our guild, I won't name names, but he was a gnome, and it wasn't football. And he adamantly refused to do the jewel crafting daily. And I'm like a jewel crafter on Madrona. I've been a jewel crafter since very early on. And I was like doing that daily on like four alts every single day. And I'm like, guys, if you can just help us out here so we can open up the vendor, so we can start cutting those epic gems, that would be great. And he's like, no, I refuse. And I'm like, you know what, buddy? I'm not going to cut any gems for you. Thanks. And I didn't. I didn't cut a single gem for him for the rest of the game. Like, the rest of the expansion. I was so cheesed off. So, I mean, like, what they really need to do is make it so that everybody's invested in it, because not everybody was invested in it before. On Pradmoor, it was great, because everybody was like, yes, we are, like, the world-first server to do this. We've got to keep going. And that alone was motivation enough for a lot of people. But ET, there was, like, no motivation to do it after, like, maybe the second vendor was open or something like that. And it just took forever for us to open up all of our vendors.
Yeah,
avoiding a daily, you know, do the dailies and do this, I think would be ideal. But just something like, you know, maybe just like a guild thing, you know, where your guild has to go through some quests and get the phasing open so that you can go into the raid dungeon or whatever it is. Just something that, you know, brings a camaraderie to the game that isn't quite there, like right now. Where you kind of have to work with either some NPCs or even another guild, maybe, to get something accomplished. I just think something like that would be really cool to put in the game right now.
I totally agree. I think you can do a lot with guild achievements with regards to game content, which I think is kind of an interesting thing. I'm trying to find the reference, but I saw something about, I want to say, guild assignments or something like that. That they'll have more info for us on that soon for 4.1, which would be really neat. I'm very curious about this. I'm going to try to find the reference.
Interesting. What does that entail?
Well, that's just it. We don't actually know at this point.
We just know that it has its definition as guild assignments.
I think I'm going to go look that up real quick.
And they're saying part of 4.1 or its own patch?
I'm looking. Guild challenges, sorry. Guild challenges. 4.1, guild challenges, which are new guild quests. So that sort of ties into to what Jay was saying. But we're preparing all of the information on this new feature for you. It, like, that's all the info we've got so far. But boy, doesn't that sound good? Guild challenges. I'm up for a challenge. Are you guys up for a challenge?
Of course. As always.
Always.
Born ready.
Yep.
I think that if they take that sort of thing along with guild achievements and actually make them give some kind of actual reward, even if that reward is opening up a phased area of the game, like, I think that would be really a neat way to sort of get people involved and get people banding together. Exactly. So it's not just such an individual thing.
Right, absolutely. So, are they suggesting that's going to be a part of 4.1, or...?
Yep.
Huh.
Along with a daily quest hub in Hyjal. Oh, no, that's going to be 4.2, is the daily quest hub in Hyjal. And that's the one, that's the phasing one for the Isle of Feldanas type thing.
Okay.
And, they're saying that ZA and ZG are going to have some missing pre-raid items, sort of like the ranged slot for DPS warriors. So, like, Day could, like, if he hadn't gotten that ranged weapon, he could have gone back to ZG or ZA and picked up a range there or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Maybe there will be bracers. Yeah. Oh, Madge, did you hear that Fog on his priest got Cookie's wand?
Wow.
Today.
No comment.
Yeah, that's just not right.
That is sad.
Savage.
Sad day. Well,
he had to earn that.
He did.
He almost deserved it after that fiasco with the Reaper again.
Yeah, that stupid Reaper. Speaking of patches, could we get a patch to, like, make the faux Reaper fight not bug out and generate, like, 8 stupid molten slags at the same time, please? Because that's just dumb.
Good. Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll be... I mean, in being able to keep patches down, maybe it means, you know, more hotfixes where they're not doing restarts, or maybe just on a Tuesday maintenance where they can do those little bit of fixes, so you don't have to pack 3,000 things into one patch and putting it off. Have they mentioned anything about doing more, like, you know, quote-unquote hotfixes at all?
Not that I've read. It's really just more content coming in smaller chunks. And I guess that's the direction that they're heading in. And I'm sort of looking forward to it, I guess, in terms of being able to fully experience that content and not just be like, okay, there's a new raid. Must drop everything and go to the new raid.
Right. Well, it's going to be difficult depending on if they're going to churn them out that much more quickly and that much more often. Then we may end up having our time limited on different tiers of raiding just because they're going to be trying to get them out more often.
Maybe. I'm still thinking that it's going to be a May, and at this point maybe a late May, early June release for 4.2. Like, again, that's my gut feeling. Do not take my word for it. Just because 4.2 is nowhere to be seen, right? Like, 4.1 isn't even implemented yet. Although they have said that the 4.2 PTR will go up shortly after 4.1 is released.
Yeah, they were saying it was going to be almost immediate. Like, you know, 4.1 hits live, the next time PTR comes up, 4.2 is on it. Pow, done. Because they really wanted it to be Firelands in 4.1, but because not enough people have cleared the current raid content, and it's not quite complete, they're holding it off. So I'm glad, A, that they're making sure it's right before they release it. I'm like, Sinestra. So I want the raid to come out and be ready. I do also like the fact that I know plenty of people who haven't gotten past 5 bosses in the current raid content in regular mode. And I think that holding that off until at least people get through the regular mode of the content is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a way to at least regulate, like, your end game content, because, like I was saying, if you push it out too soon, then people are going to just miss, you know, they're going to skip hard modes because there's no reason to, you know, you're raiding to get the gear to raid the higher end stuff. And if the better gear isn't in that content anymore, then there isn't really a huge reason to be there unless you're just, you know, trying to go 12-12 hard mode or whatever it is just to try and say that you've done it.
Gear is an interesting beast. I mean, what... Back in Wrath, right, you had your 232s, which was the simplest version of Tier 9 that you could get. And you could go into 10-man ICC in 232s and do just fine. I mean, like, you would gear yourself up and get your 251s, and then you would go through the content and be able to do heroic modes, which would give you the 264 gear. But, like, if you were wearing the 245s and 258s and you went into ICC 25, then you were already ahead of the curve. And the 264s weren't huge boost for you in most cases. I mean, I was still wearing boots, my like 258 heroic boots from TOC heroics until like deep into ICC heroics or what have you. I mean, it's kind of interesting because now you don't have the 10-mans as another way to gear up, because 10-mans and 25s are giving the same gear. Right. So I think it's going to be more important for us to, for those of us who are, you know, more serious raiders, to get that heroic gear now while the content is current, so that we'll be able to whip through, relatively speaking, the next year of regular content, so that we can then get to the heroic content that much quicker, and then spend time working on that and really and gear up in that heroic gear, so that we can then whip through the next tier of gear in our heroic mode content. At least I think that that's how it's supposed to go. But it's an odd beast.
Yeah. I guess the discussion of all of it is nice, but... it's kind of I feel like it's a see to believe kind of thing where they can say they want to do it more often. But I'm called back to my other game that I enjoy playing, something like Half-Life, where they're trying to introduce their small segments more often as opposed to, you know, releasing big games. But they aren't releasing them all that often at all. So that's kind of something that they're running into and is easily a possibility, you know, given whatever amount of timing they claim they have, and then whatever time they feel like releasing could be totally different.
Yeah, I'm looking at, and we'll put this in the patch notes, but Restokin, Lasana over at Restokin.com, wrote up a post about their major content patch history, and she talks about the average time between patches for vanilla, and it's like literally every 1 to 2, sometimes 3 months. And in BC, it was 3 or 4 months, and in Wrath, it was like every 4 months. So if we can take them at their word, we can probably expect new stuff every 2-ish months or so, which is roughly double what we've seen in the last couple expansions.
Yeah.
It should be interesting.
Yeah, especially just because it's grown over time to be the opposite of what they claim they'd like to have it do. So it's going to be tough for them to try and pull out of that rut, you know, switch over to what is pretty much a completely different, you know, way of thinking for them.
Yeah, a whole different philosophy.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's definitely a double-edged sword. I definitely hope that they do what they say, and that way your bleeding edge guilds or your more progressed guilds, you know, they get through the regular mode content fairly quickly, and then they're just kind of twiddling their thumbs going, okay, when's the next raid? Oh, hey, look, new 5-mans or something to keep us preoccupied until the next raid comes out.
Exactly. And I think that's probably what they're looking to do, to keep people interested in the game. I mean, from a business standpoint as well, it makes sense. Like, if you're releasing new stuff more often, then people are going to be less likely to just stop playing entirely.
Right.
Which is sort of a jaded way to look at it. But, I mean, they are a business, so.
Oh, absolutely. I guess the other thing with the smaller updates is, like you kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, is the more often updating is happening, the more Tuesdays you could just lose an entire raid night to, you know, updating mods, or depending on what they break on a Tuesday night, you could lose multiple whole nights of raids just because they're doing smaller ones that are breaking more things that are being released more often. And even though it's sort of a smaller issue that I could think of, it's, you know, it's still something to take into account in the upcoming months. So I guess we'll see how that goes as well.
Yeah, Tuesday night raiders, beware. Have a backup night. Like, when I'm pretty pleased that when the Super Bowl was happening and we moved our raid from Sunday to Monday, like, that was okay. Most people were able to make that. So I'm tempted to say that, you know, if we lose a raid night to a Tuesday patch, that we can easily just swap it over to the Monday.
Right.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. All right, well, I think with that, we'll probably move into our outro. Let's go into our shout-outs. Karen, do you have any shout-outs?
I do. From the bottom of my heart, I would like to thank the people who put up with healing, with me healing on my Shaman in Heroic Throne of the Tides and Heroic Grim Batul. Thank you for understanding I need to drink. Thank you for using crowd control. Thank you for being patient. I do appreciate that. Thank you.
That's kind of a... Jay, do you have anyone?
No one, like, individually, but I couldn't be the druid I am today without the bleeding edge theory crafters out there, like Team Waffle, Ariel Reese, Lasana, you guys are great. The recently WoW departed Yawning, I definitely couldn't be the kitty I am today without you guys. I really appreciate your guys' help. And my personal shout out to all my friends who have gotten me through my WoW nights, dungeons, quests, everything. You guys are the greatest.
Aww. That's nice.
I guess my shout out is to the wonderful Resto Druid from my Zulfarak pug earlier for adding me to the long list of misinformed people about thinking they need a mallet for summoning the boss. Thanks, buddy. You suck. I guess our tip of the week this week is on Nefarian, on your phase 1-2 transition. Try and let the lava rise above your head before you attempt to get up onto your platform. It should help reduce edge clipping and incorrect jump heights due to bobbing in and out of the lava. And I know that definitely helped me in getting on my platform and a few other people as well. So figure we'd pass that info along.
Good advice.
Yeah.
You definitely don't want to be the kitty druid jumping over the platform.
Definitely. That is poor for your health and your raid members' health. We'd love to hear your tips of the week. If you have any you'd like to share, any feedback you might have, email us at podcast@blessingoffrost.com. Let us know what you thought. You can follow Apotheosis and Kern on Twitter. Follow @ApotheosisET and @KernMoog. Leave comments and rate us up on iTunes. Hopefully, can people do that yet?
Absolutely. We have the feed going, so you can subscribe through the iTunes feed and definitely rate us up.
Sweet. That's awesome. Jay, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been awesome.
Glad to have been here. We'll gladly come back and talk your guys' ear off some more anytime you want to have me.
Awesome.
Do you have any blogs or websites or Twitters you want to pimp out? Or
none of my own, no. For those of you out there who are listening, Team Waffle, go listen to their podcast, read up. They're awesome.
Excellent. Well, we'll put their link in our show notes this week. And I guess that brings us to the end of our 12th episode of Blessing of Frost. I'm Magic.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Kern.
And until next time, stay frosty.
Blessing of Frost is a not-for-profit World of Warcraft podcast by Kern and Magic, copyright 2011. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks to our Gildy Numenal for the use of his voice in our intro, and thanks to you for listening.